today is Earth Day. Lots going on around the world to celebrate. A group of hikers cleaned up trash today along the Great Wall of China. In Grand Rapids, Michigan, volunteers and local breweries drilled rain barrels to catch and conserve water this morning. In Des Moines, Iowa, people are spending the afternoon cleaning up and planting trees across the city. For his part, President Obama is spending some time in the Florida Everglades today with Bill Nye, the science guy, to draw attention to the effects of climate change. But in the Florida Keys, it's not climate change that has some scientists concerned as authorities prepare to issue new regulations to protect coral reef there. From the Here and Now Contributors Network, WLRN's Nancy Klinginer reports from Key West on a study with some surprising findings.
Jeremy Jackson was the lead scientist on a survey that looked at the health of coral reefs in the Caribbean over the last 50 years. He said climate change is not the biggest threat facing coral reefs.
The two strongest factors, given all the data available, are overfishing and just simply too many people.
That's a real problem for the Keys, Jackson says.
You got 5 million people living next door who come down and use it as their backyard pool.
Jackson delivered his report to the fishermen, divers, tourism promoters, and conservationists who serve as local advisors to the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. Fishing is not allowed in about 6% of the Keys sanctuary. Jackson said that number should be more like 30%, and the areas should ban all uses, including diving. Jackson said the Keys should also stop development and limit tourism. Those are politically unlikely scenarios. I'm Nancy Klinginer in Key West.
So, what are you doing for Earth Day? And it doesn't have to be something you do outside. Maybe you should think about conserving in your own kitchen. That's what food journalist Eugenia Bone does. She saves food that people would normally throw away, like peach pits or broccoli stems, and uses them to make tasty dishes. She shares her recipes and her philosophy in a new book called The Kitchen Ecosystem, Integrating Recipes to Create Delicious Meals. And she joins us now to talk about it. Eugenia Bone, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you.
And let's define our terms here. What is a kitchen ecosystem to you?
Well, I started to see parallels between natural ecosystems and my kitchen. For example, a robust ecosystem, natural ecosystem, is the health of that ecosystem is based on the diversity of critters living in it and their sort of dynamic integration. Similarly, a kitchen ecosystem could be described as being only as good as the diversity of homemade and fresh ingredients that you used in a kind of dynamic integration. And additionally, just like a natural ecosystem has no waste, everything cycles back into the system, so too in a kitchen ecosystem, the more you recycled back food waste, which I don't even like to call it food waste. Let's call it wasted food, back into your cooking, the better tasting your cooking would be.
That you should use everything.
You should use as much as you can and the more you use, the better tasting your food will be, because just like in nature, you get out of the system what you put into it.
And right now, the statistics show we're throwing out about 40% of the food that is grown for human consumption. It is filling up landfills.
Right. It's crazy. And agricultural policy is one thing and grocery store change is another. Those are areas that definitely produce a lot of food waste. But home cooks like you and me, you know, we do it too. And so that's where my area of focus is.
Well, where should we be focusing in our own kitchens? What is it that we are throwing out right now that we could be using to make food that is delicious and looks as good as the stuff in your book?
Well, thank you. Well, it's really, I think, a matter of the way you approach cooking. So if you approach every dinner as a discrete entity, then efficiency is only achieved by buying pre-made stuff and commercial condiments and, you know, already cut up chicken parts. But if you buy the whole food, then you're able to produce meals in sequence and over time. So, for example, if I buy a container of chicken thighs, I can only make dinner with chicken thighs that night. But if I buy a whole chicken, I can cut it up and serve the parts for dinner and then put on a stock with the bones. And it might only produce 2 pints of stock, but so what? You know, that's two pints of stock. That's right. What's wrong with that? And then I can make, say, spaghettini in the stock the next night. And the efficiency is on multiple levels. One, it's like I'm halfway through with dinner on night two because I've made stock. And it's efficient in terms of your dollars. It's kind of a ripoff to buy parts. And it produces better flavor because you're using these homemade ingredients. And it's more efficient in terms of your carbon footprint because you're not producing this waste.
What about, though, the food that I end up throwing out is the food that I can't use fast enough? I might buy some broccoli and I use it in one meal, but then I have a little bit too much. And the next day, maybe I don't want broccoli. And the day after that, I'm out to dinner or I'm doing something else. What do you do with that kind of thing that sort of it's perfectly good for a time, but not after a while?
Right. So that's, again, looking at your dinner as a discrete thing. Tonight I'm making chicken thighs and broccoli. Whereas if the broccoli's in, let's say it's August and there's tons of broccoli coming in, and you're going to take advantage of the fact that it's at its peak, it's the freshest. So let's say you make a broccoli dish for dinner, and then the stems you might put on water to soften up and then run through a food mill the next day. And then you have a nice broccoli stock, which you can freeze or you can preserve in a jar. Using a pressure canner, which is not that scary once you get used to it. They're very safe. So you expand what you do with that food beyond just what you're eating for dinner that night.
You even use the peach pit in that peach, which most of us would definitely throw out. You use it for jam.
Right. The pits and the skins are all make a really tasty, kind of slightly fuzzy tasting jam. It's really wonderful and cozy. I make that when I'm for some reason putting up or otherwise eating a lot of peaches. And I only make that in the summer. And there's a ton of peach peels and pits. And so I'll put up the jam at the same time. It has to sit. Those peels have to sit overnight in sugar and so on. So it's kind of perfect because I don't actually deal with it the day I peel the peaches, but the next day. And I always do these little preserving projects and these waste stream projects at the same time as I'm cooking dinner anyway. I mean, if it's going to be a big ordeal, you know, that's just not a 21st century reality, you know?
There are probably some people listening to this going, wow, great idea. I would love to use every single thing in my kitchen and not throw anything out. But
right.
My life is such that I have these traditions and this is how I do things, and it's going to be hard for me to change like that. What would you say to somebody like that?
Right. So I hear that all the time. And so I think a totality, you know, a wholesale approach is just not going to work. It doesn't make sense, you know. But if you want to start utilizing your food in a different way, what I usually recommend is take a look at what you buy on a regular basis. Because if you're buying tomatoes all the time, you know, maybe you should give home canning tomatoes a whirl. Because every time you make a dish with your home canned tomatoes, it's going to be qualitatively better than the commercial stuff. I don't care what the provenance is of the commercial. And when in the process of making your home canned tomatoes, you'll get all of this tomato water that comes off of it. And that tomato water is a byproduct that you can use in various dishes. So it only makes sense to do these things, to look at the way you eat and slowly incorporate homemade ingredients into your kitchen that you use frequently. You know, I don't drink that many Bloody Marys, so I really don't need to make Worcestershire sauce if I buy it. You know, that's fine. The stuff lasts forever anyway. But I do eat a lot of tomatoes. I don't eat a lot of strawberry jam, so I don't can 12 half pints of strawberry jam. I just can as much as I'm going to eat from strawberry season in 2013 to strawberry season in 2014. So it's really like I think people just would benefit from just doing a little pantry intervention and saying, what do I really eat a lot of? And if I replace just that with homemade, then I've got it going.
Eugenia Bone, author of The Kitchen Ecosystem, Integrating Recipes to Create Delicious Meals. We've got some recipes from Eugenia at our website, hereandnow.org. Thank you so much.
Thank you.